The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me. And I guarded them, and none of them was lost except for the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
What great readings we have today. We got from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that's known as the priestly prayer, where Jesus is praying to the Father for us. Imagine that. Jesus praying to the Father for us. And then we have another reading from St. John, one of his letters, the first letter of John. And then we have from the Acts of the Apostles, a very important little event that goes on. The apostles have to choose a successor to Judas, because we all know what happened to Judas. He betrayed Jesus, and then he despaired of God's mercy, and unlike St. Peter, who also denied Jesus, Judas didn't ask for the mercy of God. He despaired, and he went and hung himself. So there are only 11 apostles left. And so St. Peter says to the group of the apostles, we have to choose a successor. And this, in Jesus' prayer for us at the Last Supper, in this priestly prayer in the Gospel, he's praying to the Father to protect us from the evil one. And he says, I have protected them while I've been here, so that none of them was lost except the son of destruction. And I think he's speaking about Judas being lost, one of the 12 who betrayed Jesus. But he's praying for us all his disciples. And he says, they do not belong to the world, Father, any more than I belong to the world. In other words, this isn't really our home. We don't fit in, well, we shouldn't exactly fit in too comfortably in this world, because we've been born again. We've been born from above. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. Maybe we've got one foot on the earth, but we should have one foot also in heaven. And Jesus is praying that we be protected. So I thought it was good for us maybe to reflect on that first one that was lost. He's not the last Christian that was lost, but he was the first since Jesus came along. How did it happen to Judas? Well, the New Testament gives us a pretty fair description in little bits and pieces all over. You know, the scene at the Garden of Gethsemane, and it describes how Judas went to the high priests and they offered him 30 pieces of silver if he would turn Jesus over to them. And they worked out this elaborate scheme because Judas knew where Jesus used to go to pray at night in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the guards and the soldiers didn't know what Jesus looked like. especially in the dark. So Judas said he would go, and the one that he kisses would be the one that they should apprehend, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, well, that's the end of the story of the betrayal, right? But what had happened to him? You know, we lament the falling away of our family members, friends, children, you know, who fall away from the faith. The common sorrow in the hearts of many moms and dads. But Judas had so many advantages. First of all, he was chosen by Jesus. Jesus went and chose those 12 apostles. Did he just have bad information on Judas? Maybe he falsified his resume? No. No, Jesus knew that he would betray him. But Judas didn't start off bad. Little bits and pieces in the Gospels tell us what happened. One of the Gospels tells us that he was a thief. In another place, it says that he was the one who took care of the money for Jesus and the other apostles. He took the donations. But he helped himself to some of it. And remember that other scene in the Gospel where Judas complains about the woman who's anointing the feet of Jesus with the expensive nard. And he says, that's worth 300 days' wages. We could have given it to the poor. And Jesus rebukes him and says, the poor you will always have with you. You will not always have me. And what this woman has done for me will be repeated throughout time. And certainly it was. But it just shows a little bit of an insight into the heart of Judas that he started cheating and he started stealing. Somewhere along the line, he started cutting corners. He was dishonest and phony and living a lie in his commitment to Jesus. And it happened gradually over the 3 years they were together. It wasn't just one moment. At the Last Supper, it says, Jesus told him, go and do what you must do. And it says the devil entered the heart of Judas at that moment. And he went out, and it was dark. So we see the triumph of the evil one over the heart of Judas. And I think that's the way it happens for most of us who wind up being lost. That it's little by little, with the small compromises, the small dishonesties, the small selfishness, small infidelities, that little by little prepare the way for the evil one to take over our heart. How often the devil has done the same thing to other people. This is why they needed to find a successor to Judas. And that little letter that we read from St. John, he says, this is how we remain in him, that he has given us of his Spirit, and we testify that the Father sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. Through all those small infidelities, through all that repeated cheating, stealing, selfishness on the part of Judas, he drove out the love of God and opened himself up to the power of the evil one. Yeah, the same thing can happen to us. And not in one big dramatic blow that we turn our back on Christ, but through repeated small offenses, we darken our hearts. We've got to be on guard about those things that we let into our lives. Maybe their attitudes. Maybe their little brushes with sin that we don't fight off. Maybe their little instances of cutting corners where we go against our conscience in small things. And the love of God slowly is extinguished in our hearts. And God doesn't remain in us. And in that void, the devil enters. But here's the good news. Jesus at the Last Supper, praying for us. Father, protect them from the world. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Yeah, it's good to be reminded of that. That we don't really belong to the world. And if we feel like we do, and we're fitting into smoothly, then something's wrong. We should be swimming against that current and not just floating downstream. We should feel a little bit uncomfortable with the values and the attitudes and the behaviors of a lot of people around us. And we've got to stand out. And we've got to take that courageous stand. Because Jesus sends us into the world. But he protects us too. We've got to work on our conscience. To make sure that our conscience is always clear. That we're not allowing small infidelities to start to take over. Because they become habits. And habits get harder and harder to uproot. That's why it's so good for us to pray regularly, to go before the Blessed Sacrament, to examine our conscience, to be completely open with God. Purify us from anything that could separate us from you.